Bible says that God is a God that honors his word more than his name. And all we need to do is just to trust him for whatever he has said unto us. Thank you, choir. That song is very apt, and it's going to be one of the things we're going to be talking about today. God is here. Please let me remind somebody that God is here. God is here. God is here. Amen. I'm going to make a lot of reference to everything that's been said today, and that's going to be assured me that God is here. Amen. I'd like us to take a song quickly, if you can help me, please. There is a sweet anointing in this sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere. Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried, for in this sanctuary God is here.
There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. Is a stillness in the atmosphere. Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary.
Assurance that you are here. We cast our cares this morning. We lay every burden, everything that might be weighing us down, anything that might be troubling our hearts. We choose to just lay it at your feet today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask, oh God, that you speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear any man. We want to hear you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. My heart cry today, O Lord, is that you speak to every single person under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. That it will not just be me speaking, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to every heart in the name of Jesus. And let this word profit us. Let this word mix with faith in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And we'll go forth and we'll be doers of this word in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning once again. It's great to be in church. And I want to thank God for this privilege. Pastor knows that I don't like sharing. I always get roped into it, but I don't like it so much. But I appreciate the privilege, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Today I'm going to speak on the topic of what I've called being and becoming. Being and becoming. And that's why I said that song was very apt. Being and becoming. So, who we are and who we are becoming. Okay? That's what we're going to talk about today. My main text will be from the book of Colossians chapter 2 from verses 8 to 10, and we'll read that in a short while. Colossians 2, 8 to 10, and that's our theme for the year, around the theme for the year. So what does it mean to be? What does it mean to be? I've written here that if we say that we are something, so when we say being, so it's be, used to say that, to say something about a person or a thing is used to say, is to show like a temporary quality. So if I say be great or be able or something like that, so I'm describing a state, right? So that's what be is, and that's according to the Cambridge Dictionary as well. It says it shows the position of a person or a thing in a particular space or a particular time, okay? And when we talk about become, we're talking about starting to be, okay? So is you want to attain something, you're becoming, so we say become, I'm using becoming again. I don't know English. Starting to be, that's what the dictionary says. And it says that it starts to change and develop into that thing. So that means that there is a particular thing. And if we become it, that means we are starting to change into that thing. So if I become, I am becoming a scientist, I am starting to learn this, acquire the skills and learn the right things to be able to stand and say, I am a scientist. Okay. Looking at the relationship between the two words, so one of them talks about a position, and the other one talks about developing into that particular position. So I've given an example here. I've used pastor as an example. And I've said that if I won't use Ugo this time because everybody always uses Ugo. So if we say that Abby is anointed pastor today, so that's a title. It doesn't necessarily mean that, it doesn't mean that she's not a pastor. She's a pastor, right? Because now she's anointed, she's a pastor. But then the skills and everything it takes to be a pastor, she might not have today, even though she has assumed the position today. So she will still become. So someone trains to be a doctor. So they could qualify, they would have acquired some skills, but there's a certain state that they will get to that will be able to say, oh, that person is the doctor kind of thing. So they become an authority in their field. So that's the example I've used, and that's what I'm trying to get at today. So that the important things to think about is, how do we go from where we say we are to where the reality is? So for example, when God says that I am the head and not the tail, that's who I am. That's what God has said. So that is a fact. That is the truth. In fact, it's not even just a fact, it's the truth. But things around me, things in my life might not agree with that. It might not be showing that. How do I make it a reality? How do I become that thing that God has said that I am? And so we're going to read the book of Colossians chapter 2. So that's our theme for the year. Colossians 2 from verse 8 to 10. I'm reading from the New King James. Colossians 2, 8 to 10. It says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Okay? It says, you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. And that's going to be my focus today. Because that scripture tells us that we are complete in him. We are not trying to be complete in him. It is just what it is. It's the truth. We are. So it's a state of being. We are complete in him. But then how do we make that a reality? Because when we say complete, what we talk about is when there is nothing else to be added to it. It's just the right amount. There is no extras that is needed. It's just who we are. But then how is it that it is possible for our lives to manifest it in reality? Have you got my picture ready? I want to show us something quickly, and I want to use this. I'm going to be referring to it a little bit as we go along. And I want to link that to how we are as Christians and all that as well. Okay, do we know who these people are? Yeah? Who are they? Royal family. Okay, so when we look at them, we think of royalty, right? But who amongst them is the most royal? The queen is the most royal. Okay? But then if Prince Harry goes somewhere, will it be regarded as royalty? Will it be treated as royalty? Because in essence, if so, the queen doesn't travel around so much, but anywhere the Prince Harry turns up, oh, royalty has arrived, yeah? Let's say Prince Harry doesn't turn up there. If Prince William turns up, he's royalty. What about their children? So William has a few children now. So we say Prince Louis turns up somewhere. He's royalty, but just a little baby. He is royalty. But then that baby will probably behave like Simi will behave. We'll still run around and we don't want to share his scripts. And we'll still wet his nappy. And does that mean he's not royalty though? He is royalty. So in spite of his default mode, shall we say, and his behavior as a child, but he is. So he might not even realize it at the start, but that's what he is. And that's the same thing with us as Christians. Whatever God says we are, it is who we are. So the first thing we'd first need to do is to find out, what has God said concerning me? Who I am? Who am I? Who am I? What has God said concerning me? It might not be necessarily, okay, so I've said the scriptures, I know about all these things, but I don't have a problem with my identity as a Christian. It could be maybe at work, I'm trying to reconcile, what's my place here? How am I a Christian in this setting? Or I'm in a position, so this morning we were praying about people being placed in strategic positions in different spheres of society. So where you're working, where you're going to school, where you're at university, what's your role in that place? Maybe God has said something about you. That's who you are. But then you're looking around thinking, who's going to listen to me? So if I get up at work and say, this is the solution, will anybody listen to me? That doesn't stop the fact that that's who I am. Or, I've made a mistake at work. Oh dear, what am I going to do? No, it doesn't stop the fact of what God has said to me, because that one is unchangeable. So we are complete in him. There is nothing to be added, nothing to be taken away. So we can't change that. And I've written a few things here now saying that a lot of times we look around us and we can't reconcile the reality of our lives with what God has said to us. And one of the first things is to understand who we are. The second thing is to understand the expectations. So Prince Louis needs to understand who he is. He needs to get to a place. As he's growing up, he will just realize that there are all these people around in the treating special, and he's thinking, but why can't I play with that child? Why can't I just go and roll in the sand? And they think, oh, paparazzi is around. They don't want them to take picture and all of that. But he'll be thinking, what? You know, but it will come to a time he will know who he is. He will realize. And then he will come to learn and realize the expectations. But if he doesn't understand the expectations, then it becomes a problem. And as Christians, that's another thing that we need to understand. The expectation plays on us. So if we look at the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, that talks about some of the expectations as Christians. And that was one of the things that will help us to go to where we need to be. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. So, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of God, he is not his. So that means that my first realization is to know that God dwells in me. Okay, I have the Spirit of God in me. We're talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that I love that we talk about on Wednesday was the difference between indwelling and infilling. And I was emphasizing this to the girls. I think that that's so key. So that the Holy Spirit is not just, the Holy Spirit is on our inside. But we're not even aware of the Holy Spirit being there. Or sometimes we forget, I think, maybe. But then when there is an infilling, we are controlled. It's just like your default mode. You cannot help it, you know. And that's the state where we're supposed to be. But I said about the expectations, because if the Holy Spirit dwells on our inside, it says that as long as we belong to Christ, the Spirit of God is in us. So the Holy Spirit is in us. And because the Holy Spirit is in us, then we begin to, it begins to determine how we behave, what we do, and how we do it. It affects our choices. And we understand the expectations then, because we know that, like what Pastor Baba will tell us, that everybody can, but you dare not. Not because anybody will know. It's not because, I don't want Brocade to find out that I've done this. No, it doesn't matter if nobody will ever find out. But then if I understand the expectations, I begin to align to what God wants me to do. I begin to align to where God wants me to be. And then I begin to see some realities. It might be small things. It might be small steps. But then it becomes a reality in our lives. And that applies to our career as well. If you don't understand the expectations, there is no way to be able to meet the set targets and to be able to achieve that goal that is set. So we talked about being an authority in your field. We talked about being, you know, they would say that we're praying this morning about people being in strategic places and in their spheres of influence. But then you have to be in a particular place to be able to say something and people will stand and they will listen. And I trust that God will take us to that place so that as Christians, we'll be in a place where there's a decision to be made concerning the United Kingdom. And they'll say, let's speak to T. Remember the story of Daniel? He said, there is a man that the Spirit of God is in. And all the kings always go to that man. So they'll say, there's one man in Leicester. His name is T. If you go and find him, he'll give you the solution to that problem. And then the convoy will come. And they'll come and look for T. And you speak a word, and you say, this is what you need to do. And that will just solve the problem. Guess who they will come to next time there's a problem? The same thing. Praise God. So we need to understand the expectations. The next thing I've got here is that we need to cooperate with the training. So if Prince Louis is being told to stand upright, so if he's walking, he can't walk like this. He has to walk upright. He has to do this. And he's thinking, what? But he has to cooperate with the training. I remember when Prince Harry got married and there was a lot of hoo-ha about his adventures, shall we say, before he got married. And apparently he said a lot of things were happening to him then, but essentially he wasn't cooperating with the training. And it was almost disgracing the royal family, according to what they thought, right, what it was. But then it's so important for him to be able to go and represent the Queen. He needs to cooperate with the training so that when they tell him, when you arrive here, this is what you do, this is who you greet first, this is where you go, you don't go here, you don't go there, you don't just carry your bag and say, I want to go to the bus stop, I want to go and buy sweets. You need somebody to go with you. You can't just get up and go. That's not your life. You just have to agree with it. And then when you want to do this, this is how you do it. So you don't just sit at the table and be like, I feel like putting my leg on the table today. I'm at home, I'm relaxed. They will train him to not do that, because when he'll be dining with kings and people in authority and important people. He can't do that. But then if he doesn't cooperate with that training, they can't achieve that goal. Amen. And that's the same with us as Christians. We need to cooperate with the training. So it might just be training in faith. So we're talking as workers today, doing something and tell us, can you do this? No, I can't do it. Can you do that? No, I can't do it. I'm too busy.
Is that part of the training? Or we're talking about balance as well. Maybe part of the training is learning to have a balance, because when you get to that important position, there'll be more and more responsibilities, and learning to say yes and no to some things, and learning to know what is God and what is just what I want. Cooperating with the training. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've come to really love that scripture these days. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4 to 7. Says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Amen. So he's talking about a soldier and an athlete. So Ogie can help us. Okay. So if you have an athlete, right? I can run very fast. Maybe faster than Usain Bolt. I wish. Okay. But when I do my own running, I don't wait for the whistle. But I just want to run. So when I start, everybody's standing. Everybody's ready. Ready, set, I'm off. But I get there. In fact, I have my personal best, and I've smashed all the records. Will I get a crown? Why not? Yeah, I have to wait for the start. Okay, what if I actually wait for a start, right? And it's hurdles, and I'm very fast. But I decide that, you know what? If I go around and bend and bend and bend that way, I can get there. I'll still get there. And even though I was going zigzaggy, and everybody was still hopping and jumping, I get to the end. I won't still win. That's because I did not follow the rules. So they'll do long jump, and they'll start saying, oh, you find that this person has jumped. And they'll say, oh, the person stepped on this line, or that person has done that, because they did not follow the rules. So that means that even though a lot of times we don't like discipline, I don't know who likes discipline. I don't like discipline so much. A lot of times we don't like discipline. A lot of times we don't like when they say you have to do this. So you have this coursework, and they give you a deadline, and they say, write 3,000 words, do this. And you're thinking, no, seriously, do I really have to do this? And they say, this skill you have to learn. And you're thinking, oh, there's so much to do. I can't cope with this. And we're under a lot of pressure a lot of times. So whether you're at work, whether you're going to school, whether you're a mom, there's so much going on. Or whether you're a dad, there's so much going on. You know, but then we know that it's training. If you understand that it's training, and it helps, and we understand the expectation as well, it helps us to know that we're going from, there's a target. This is who I am, and this is who I'm going to become. And I know that I'm working towards actualizing these things. Amen. He talks about a soldier. I think I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I was talking about how, when we have opportunities, that there'll be nobody that will wait to say, Brother Charles wants to go and quickly learn that technique. But then he has an interview, and they've asked him to come and tell us about what you've done. And can you talk to us about Western blotting or something? And he goes, oh, but they told me that in school. I did not actually pay. Let me go and quickly read it. You wouldn't offer him a job. You want him to know it there and then, to sit down there and tell you there and then. The soldier will not say, I need to go and quickly do 100 push-ups before we go to that place, and we go and run, and we go and quickly build the bridge. Or we need to quickly build the bridge. So I'm an engineer. There's trouble. Can I quickly go and find my textbook? And they need it there and then. What are we going to do there and then? Or someone that is doing the mapping and orienteering. Someone was telling me all about this orienteering business, and I was just like. But then, those skills are things that should come like that. And for them to come like that, it takes training. It takes time. And one of the things I'd like to implore us today is to take time and be patient with training. Like I said, a lot of us don't like it, but then it's what we need to do. And it's easy for us in our jobs to go on the go training. A lot of the training are very boring, and they'll send you for another one in a few months, and then you know it's boring, but you just know you have to turn up. But when it comes to the things of God, a lot of times we don't undergo training. Or sometimes we wait till, oh, there's workers' retreat. Oh, there's fasting and prayer, and they have not sent the prayer point. Oh, when is going to, next, the corporate fast going to be again, or something. But what training is God asking you to do? What training do you need concerning what God has spoken to you this year? What training do you think you need to be able to achieve it? Because otherwise, at the end of the year, what difference would you observe in your life? You know, there's a saying that it's just foolishness for us to do things the same way we've been doing it and expect there to be a different result. So that means that if this year, I want at the end of this year to have a different result, I have to do things in a very, very different way. And that means that I start on a daily basis to do things differently. If I do things differently on a daily basis, then maybe on a weekly basis, I can look back and say, okay, have I achieved anything this week? Because before you know, it'll be 1 month. You know, it's just one more Sunday and February is over. That's 2 months gone. What have you achieved so far? What's different? 2 months have gone. What's different this year? That kind of thing scares me because I think that before you know it, you'll be 60. And then you look back, you'll be like, where did the time go? And then we say, oh, those children, you know, it's interesting, you know. One of my colleagues was telling me about his uni days. And he was telling me 2012. And I was thinking, you were at uni in 2012? First degree, 2000. And I was looking at him like, really? This is a small boy. Well, anyway, yeah. Time is just interesting. And I look at myself, I'm very young. I think I'm very young. But then when I hear someone talk to me like that, I'm thinking, oh God, where did the time go? But yeah, it is well. I talked to some of my students. I was sharing with some of my students about some things that happened during my degree. And they were like, oh, when was that? I was like, you really don't want to know. Because you weren't born then. Anyway, praise God. But training takes time. And if we don't work at it, the time will still go. And you wouldn't have done anything. I did a course a couple of years ago. And one of my colleagues said to me, when I finished that course, it was very overwhelming. It was really difficult. But when I completed the course, one of my colleagues said something that I promised myself never to forget. She said that, do you know that the past 1 year has been really hard, but you did it anyway? And I said, oh yeah. But she said that, do you know that even if you had not done this course, you would have still been very busy. That time would still have gone. You would have still said, oh, I don't have the time, got this to do and that to do. But that year would have gone. And that means two options. One, have a qualification. Second one, do have a qualification. The same time, the same energy, the same thing. So one might be harder than the other, but it's the same thing. Which path I choose to take depends on what I want. And it depends on the choices I make. So it might not necessarily be convenient. It might not necessarily be perfect. It might be a bit of sleepless nights involved. But what is your target? What is it that you want to become? And not just, I want to be. This is what God says. But then if I want it to show forth, I need to become. I need it to be a reality. Amen. The next thing is to take correction. So I'm undergoing training. So obviously I'll mess up sometimes. I'll do things wrong sometimes. It might not necessarily mean that I've done something completely wrong. It might just be that someone has seen a way for me to do it better. Two ways to look at this is to be able to take correction so that we have the right attitude. You know, some people, and I always pray that God will help me, that I will never get to a state where people will not be able to tell me when I've done something wrong. Not because of me or them. It might just be perception. They might just think, you better don't go and tell her the way she looks. But then it might be that to me, I'm thinking, oh, I'm open to correction. Anybody that has any ideas, anything, come and tell me. But then the way people perceive me, they think, whoa, you better don't go and tell her. So please, come and correct me. Let us take correction. The other thing is just give the correction. so that when we see people that things that they can do better, we give it in love. We know that, yeah? But then if we don't say it to people, if we don't correct them, then they'll just carry on. Because sometimes I may be doing something that I think, I don't see any big deal in it. I don't see anything wrong in it. But then until someone tells me of a better way to do it, I'll just carry on doing it. And because we want to help each other to get better, we're all working together. God will help us to achieve in Jesus' name. The last one I've got is start doing. So a lot of times in church, nothing I'm saying is brand new, right? We hear all these things. We can write a book on it. If we were to take it to be like school and say, write 3,000 word essay on becoming who God wants you to be, we'd probably be able to write it easy. But like I said earlier, 2 months nearly gone. You need to start doing something. We need to know, okay, this is what God wants me to do. This is where God wants me to be. And I'm not just talking church now. I'm talking in every area of our lives. We need to take those little steps to start doing something. There's a scripture I love so much, Hebrews 10:25. We looked at this scripture during the video. Hebrews 10:25. I was trying to race you to it. Oh, that's the wrong one. It's Hebrews 5. Yeah, Hebrews 5:14, yeah. That's the one I want, yeah. Sorry. Hebrews 5:14. Say, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The NLT, can I have the NLT translation, please? The NLT says that who through training have the skill, they have the skill. Skill you don't just get in one day. You acquire it with time and by use. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised so they can discern between good and evil. And I said that it is very important that we start to do and not just talk about it, pray about it, and have Bible study about it, and have prayer meeting about it. Start to do. And I've said that I'm not just talking about your walk with God. That is very, very important. But in every area of our lives as well, we start to do. Because I think that there's something I believe very strongly, and that is the fact that we are called to be solutions to our generation. We are called to be a people that when there's a problem, they should come to us and we should have the answers to those problems. So, for example, with all the hoo-ha about Brexit, somebody should have an answer. Somebody has an answer. That's who they are. But where is the reality? We can't see it. The flip side of it is, okay, somebody has an answer, but they are sitting in one corner, in one place. Who will listen when they talk? But then if you rise to where God wants you to be, then you speak, they will listen. So a professor of economics stands and says, this is what we need to do. Maybe they will listen. And then it will be on the news and they will talk on BBC. But then a professor of economics says something and someone that has a degree in economics but is working in Burger King has an idea. Who will listen? But then it's not because both of them don't have the right ideas. They might have exactly the same idea. I'm sure that somebody somewhere in the United Kingdom or somewhere has the perfect solution to this Brexit thing. But is anybody listening? We need to be the Daniels of our generation. And I need to be the Daniel of my generation so that God will take me to a place where I'll be an authority in my sphere of influence. And I'll also speak the mind of God in my sphere of influence. That's when we begin to matter. And that's when the Bible talks about the creation's waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. We need to start manifesting. How do we start manifesting? We need to start doing something. Where you are right now, what can you do? Start doing something. It might just be one person I can influence their life. It might just be just that one person. I'll start with that one person. It might just be one person that can make a difference in their lives. I'll start with that one person and do it well. And see where God will take me with that person. And then maybe God will increase it to 2 people, maybe 3, maybe 10. And it might not be that I'll be a professor of economics before I be an authority for people to listen to. If that's not what God has called me to, then I'm doing exactly the wrong thing. But then it's understanding, and that's where we started. Who am I? Who am I? Why is it that when God formed me, what did he have in mind? What are those expectations? What's the training that I need to undergo, that I need to cooperate with? What are the corrections? Who are the mentors in my life to point me in the right direction? And what are those things that I need to start doing? Amen. Okay. I thought I'd look at an example quickly. I'm looking at time now. I'm thinking, oh dear. We'll look at an example. We'll look at Gideon. We will not look at all of the scriptures. We will just look at 2 verses. And very quickly, I'll talk about a few things from those verses. An example in the Bible, Gideon. That one is a classic. If you think about someone that God says, this is who you are, and it just did not look like it at all, we think of Gideon. So Judges chapter 6. So I'm hoping everybody's familiar with the story. Judges chapter 6. But I'm just going to read 2 verses there. I'm going to read verse 25 and 26. So the angel said to him, mighty man of valor. And it was like, if it's me, I try to imagine, when I read that scripture, I always try to imagine him looking there. Who? Is there anybody else? Maybe he's talking to another sister. You know, sometimes prophecy comes in church and you're thinking, oh, that prophecy is for Sister Ovo. Sister Ovo will receive it in Jesus' name. But then it might be that God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you as well. Okay, so verse 25 and 26. Can I have in the Amplified Version, please? So Judges chapter 6, 25 to 26. So this after all the drama about testing God and all of that. It says, that night, the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bow, the second bow, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and call down the Asherah, symbol of the goddess Asherah, that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold with stones laid in proper order. Then take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down. Okay, so we know the story of Gideon, and we know that in the end, he became that mighty man. But then before he became that mighty man, God gave him an instruction, and God told him to start from home. And that's my challenge to us today, that even as we have looked at all these things, is to now reevaluate, go back to the basics and reevaluate the basics. So God told him to start from his father's house. So I've written down the instructions. He said to, the first one was to take a bull. Okay. He said for him to pull down the altar, but the altar, obviously his father built the altar. He is to cut down the Asherah pole that is next to the altar. He is to build a new altar. And then he is to sacrifice the bull using that Asherah pole that is cut down. Okay? So I'm going to look at 3 things quickly. And that's me looking at time again. 3 things very quickly. So he said for him to, we'll talk about the bull later on, to pull down the altar that his father built. So it was his father's altar, essentially. To go to his father's house and pull down the altar there. And we know that altars, so we're talking about altars a little bit during the vigil. And we're talking about how we have the golden bowl presented at the altar, and we have incense at the altar, and we can have sacrifice at the altar. And when we think about altar, we think of a place of communion. We think offering, right? We think about sacrifice. We think about worship, external worship. So Abraham had an encounter with God. He built an altar there as a memorial. You know, things like that, altars, okay? So we come across altars a lot in the Bible. But then God told Gideon to go and pull down the altar in his father's house. And one of the examples I want to give us is to look at our belief system. So as Christians, we're born again and we read the word and we're doing all of these things. But sometimes we don't go back to address what we believe and why we believe those things. Some of the things we believe are not based on the word. Some of the things we believe are just things that have been passed on to us. So this is how we do it in our house. And this is how we've always done it. Is it based on the word? And it might be a time for us to revisit the altars in our lives. Sometimes we talk about altars as things that have replaced God, things that are important, that we place priority on. What are those things? It might be a time to revisit those things that are important to us and see why are they important. And in comparison, have they, like Pastor Baba was telling us, I can't remember the Bible study we had, and he said that anything that is at the same level as God, not even you're placing it above God, anything you're placing side by side with God that has the same importance as God is like an idol in our lives. Altars. But some of these altars are generational, and I said they're passed on to us. And sometimes they're so subtle, and we don't even know that we have that belief system until something happens, and then we realize that, actually, is this what I believe? Is this what I've always thought about? Is this it? And I pray the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to see these things in Jesus' name. The other thing is about images, and those are some of the things that could stop. So we're talking about expectation earlier, how we need to understand our expectation. Sometimes what stops us from seeing things the way we should see them are the things that the Asherah pole, he talked about in verse 25, that is actually a symbol of a goddess. So we've talked about the altar. It's representing like a false god that shouldn't be there. But then there's a symbol that is there as well, next to that altar. So it might be that there is an altar there, but you might not even know that there's an altar there. But a good clue to where the altar is what's that symbol? And symbol, I listened to a message and it was talking about an image, how a picture of what is formed in your mind. So we talk about mindset. So essentially what I'm saying is, sometimes we need to change our mindset. It says to cut down that symbol, to cut down that image, that thing that you see. So a lot of times, a good application will be, I've applied for a job and I did not get the job. Why did I not get the job? Could be a number of reasons. But then I'm thinking, you know, when I went for that interview, I was the only African there. And all the people on the panel were Caucasians. That's why I didn't get that job. Mindset. Or it could be that, oh, I've applied for a job. I did not get the job. Maybe it's because I did not have enough experience. Or maybe that other person was more qualified than me. It could be, yes, but not necessarily. Could it be that your CV wasn't great, or you didn't do great at that interview, or, you know, things that would be able to look at things and be able to look at it objectively and forgot to open our eyes to begin to see. Images. What are those things that are in our mind? Bible talks about renewing our minds. So it's not, it goes beyond just I'm born again and I'm tongue talking and all of that. But then if in my mind everything is still the same. I remember I listened to a message one, and the man said that if you take someone from the ghetto, right, and you give them £1 million, give them tops a few years, they will go back to being poor. If in their minds, they're still ghetto in their mind. But then if you take someone from the ghetto, you change their way of thinking. You don't even have to give them up to £1 million. They will naturally become a millionaire because in their minds, they can see it. And sometimes in our minds, we can't see it. So that when we engage with God's word, we need to engage our minds as well so that we begin to cut down images and begin to cut down, Bible talks of renewing our minds, begin to cut down those images that are not in line with what God says you are. Amen. So sometimes we shortchange ourselves. We say, oh, it's because of my age. I'm too young. I'm too old. What God is saying, oh, that one is for older people, or that one is for younger people, or that one is for married people, or that one is for unmarried people. Probably not. If God is saying it to you, irrespective of what you can see, try to align what you can see with what God is saying. Amen. And then he told him to build a new altar. So that means that when he's pulled down the false gods, he wants a brand new altar built properly. But because of time, we'll not spend time on altar again. Yeah, an altar built properly this time. And then we want to sacrifice something on that altar. And what he told him to sacrifice was to sacrifice the bull. He says to lay down the bull on the altar, to sacrifice it. And so remember, he took the bull from the beginning. And in those days, they used to sacrifice those bulls on the altar of Baal. So that means that if you're going to sacrifice something to a deity or in a sacred place, you won't just take the worst of your cattle or whatever, of your herd. You probably take the best of your herd and you sacrifice it on the altar. And he says that, and I've looked at this and I've said that it has to do with the values that we have, our principles. So a lot of times, if the bull represents the values and things that are important to us, and we are to sacrifice them, but what are those values that we have? So as Christians, we tend to look at ourselves as very morally upright and all of that. But sometimes we just need to revisit it. When I was thinking of an example for this, what came to mind was what Pastor talked about a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about truth and lies. We talked about integrity. You know, I find it interesting when we're all sitting together like this, we're very spiritual. But then a lot of times, you don't agree with what everybody says. But you won't say, I disagree with that. You just be like, yeah, right, that's just what they're saying. This is what I think, okay? So how many of us took time to revisit our integrity? How many of us took time to rethink what we class as the truth and what is a lie? And would we still lie? So those are our values. So we're Christians. Yeah, we have the Holy Spirit on our inside. Yes, we pull down all the false altars and all of that. But the values, what are our value system? Those things that, you know, sometimes some people that are not even Christians, they will be very upright, and they have their own principles, and they stand by it. And it's quite impressive sometimes. But then we need to revisit our value system. What are those things that we place value on? And he said he should sacrifice it. Can I have verse 26, please? He should sacrifice it on the altar, and he should burn it with the wood, with the Asherah wood. Take it again. Take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the Asherah, which you have cut down. So that means that as we lay down those values, as we sacrifice them, it will all depend on our mindset. So it links back to our mindset, and it links back to the altars that we have pulled down. So I started from who we are and who we want to become. So what God has said to the realities of our lives. And I said that it is important for us to understand who we are and what God has said concerning us. It's important for us to understand the expectation that God has placed for us. It's important for us to be able to take the training and cooperate with the training that we're undergoing. It is important for us to be able to take correction. And it's important for us to start doing something. And even as we look at all those things, one of the things that we need to do will be to revisit the basics to be able to make this a reality. A lot of times in our society nowadays, we look around us and we see scandals of things people did 20 years ago that they thought nobody knew about or they thought is forgotten. And it creeps up on them. But while we're undergoing all this training and pulling down all these altars, God is building character. God is working a new work in us. And we are attaining maturity like we've talked about. And I trust that it will be a reality indeed in our lives in Jesus' name. And I'll conclude by saying that the becoming is achieved by developing the characteristics or changing into that thing that we are being. We are complete in him, but we need to walk in him to become what he wants us to be. And for me, that is attaining maturity. So we are complete in him, but we also need a walk with him. We walk in him to become exactly who he wants us to be. And not just in one area of our life, but in every area of our lives. And I trust that God will help us even to achieve these things in Jesus' name. Let us pray. I don't know what God has spoken to your heart concerning anything, or it might be nothing that I've even said. It might just be something that God has spoken to your heart about. I'd like us to just speak to God to help us. We cannot do any of this in our own power, in our own strength. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit all day. The Holy Spirit should help us. You know, earlier during Sunday school, we're talking about how we are God's masterpiece and how he's doing. Even when we are cracked, we've messed up, we've gone a wrong way, God can bring us back. He will reshape us. He's the potter. We are the clay. He will reshape us. But as he opens our eyes to these things, we need to cooperate with him. We need to walk with him. And I pray that God will help me and help all of us, you know, to cooperate with what he's doing and not just talk about it and sing about it and pray about it, but that it will be a reality in our lives in the name of Jesus. I'd like us to pray that God will open our eyes to see anything it might be. Maybe it's a false altar. Maybe it's a generational system of beliefs. Or it could be a myth that is holding us back, that is there, that we don't even realize that is there. That God will open our eyes to see it in the name of Jesus. Or is there a mindset that we have that is holding us back? It might be something really subtle, but it might be making a big impact and, you know, stopping what God really wants us to do or wants us to achieve. Sometimes we settle for the better when there could be best. Sometimes things are so fantastic. The distractions are bad, but the attractions can be bad as well. Maybe where you are, it's fantastic right now. You're earning well. It's doing okay. But is that it? Is that what God wants? Maybe God is calling to something bigger, something better than where you are. Lord, help us to cooperate with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And what is the value system that we need to lay down? You know, sometimes we can be very set in our ways. God, help us that we'll be able to reevaluate our value system and things we consider important, things that affect our behavior and our attitudes. Lord, help us to lay them on the altar. Help us, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Help us, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. I surrender to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you,
Everlasting Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, because evidently you've been in our midst. You've spoken your word to us. Right from the beginning of this service, Lord, you have been speaking. We pray, Father, even as we just sang, a life that is yielded to you, not holding back. That, Lord, you'll help us to see ourselves as you see us. That we will walk as you would have us walk. That we will have that recognition that truly we are fearfully and wonderfully made by you. That truly we are complete in you. And that process of walking in completeness, Spirit of God, we know that without you we cannot do it. That you will teach us, you will guide us, you will train us, so that we'll be sons and daughters that you will indeed be proud of. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this forthcoming week. We pray, Lord, that even as we go into the week, that you'll take preeminence in our every word, in our every thought, in our every actions, you will reign supreme. That our lights will shine forth, men will see our good works, and they will give all the glory back to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, Father, for we pray in Jesus' name. Shall we share the grace and fellowship?